Tonight, I really intend to read a chapter and comment on it, but I want to get a foundation laid first, and I want to read the whole 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is a long chapter, but I'm not going to stay very long in one verse. I've got a reason for this, and I want to talk on the subject of serving God in various seasons of life, also in varying circumstances, because we all are going to have different circumstances. Our lives, we have different seasons of life. Sometimes, some of y'all are young, some middle-aged, some of us are getting kind of old. Sometimes you have time of good health, sometimes you won't be in good health. Sometimes maybe be doing fine financially, at other times may not be doing fine financially. So I want to look at the Hebrews 11 mainly because there are many, many different people serving God in different circumstances and God's sovereignty. But to lay a foundation, there's some things I want to say that kind of fit everything. And that is a verse that really weighs on me pretty heavy this time of the year. It's just a clause out of chapter 90, verse, let's see, what verse is that? It's verse 12, Psalm 90, 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply hearts unto wisdom. That verse always gets a hold of me this time of the year. So teach us to number our days, because we just got a limited number of days, we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And along with that, David also said, in Psalm 39, verse 4, 39, 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. So we need to realize how fragile we are and do everything we can to serve God with all of our might in the different circumstances we're in. And you young people, and that doesn't only mean just the kids, it's talking about just about anybody that's not real old right now, but let's go to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes and read a few verses. I know you know this by heart, a lot of this, but it's very important. So you kids listen to this, especially, but all of us need to listen to it. And I'll read part of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He's talking about those days of bad health, when we really are, life's not hardly worth living, it seems like sometimes. People are in chronic pain and debility and all kinds of things like that. So let's read that. And he gets a graphic account of people who are getting old and infirm. So we need to be serving God while we have good health with all of our might. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, when the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Then he gives a kind of a poetic description of somebody getting old and feeble too. While the sun of the light or the moon of the stars be not darkened, I'm sure that division is getting bad, for the cloud return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, most people think that's the hands, when the hands start shaking with maybe kind of a Parkinson's type thing or just getting old. The strong men, that's our legs, shall bow themselves, the grinders, that's our teeth, cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. That might be also talking about vision. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. He shall ride up at the voice of the bird. In other words, he can't sleep very well. All the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, because they're afraid they're going to fall down and break a hip or something. And fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Desire shall fail because that man goeth to his long home. The mourners go about the streets. And then he gives a description of death, these next two verses. Or else the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So again, the first verse there, remember now thy Creator on the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, the year drawn off, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, what do you know? Right now, I want to read Hebrews 11, and I'm going to make the two or three people I want to emphasize here, but I mainly just want to read it, because these are all people that pleased God because they had faith, because God gave them faith in regeneration. And some of them it looks like an easy life in a way. In other words, not a real terrible life of persecution and things like that. But some of them died martyrs' deaths and died pretty bad martyrs' deaths. And God's sovereign in all that. So we don't know what faces us this next year. But the point I want to make is we got to serve God in all circumstances, and our job is to be faithful. And then I'm going to talk about two or three people that had different stages in their lives, and they did well in each stage, but they're different. So God got a different job for us to do. Just Judy and I right now, we had the job of raising kids, and that time is gone now. So now we have other things to do. We got to do good on the functions God's given us now. So we, you know, I'm kind of aware of that right now very much, that we have different stages, but it's not the time to give up. I'm not down at all. In fact, I'm up. There's some things that are good about not being tied down with kids. So we have more freedom in some ways, but we got to all serve God the best we can. You kids got to serve God now while you're home. Then there'll be times you'll be getting married probably, have served God that in a marriage. But let's just read Hebrews 11 and look at these people and see that God had them here for a reason. And some of them had a really easy life, it looks like. Some of them did not have. This is all in God's sovereignty. We don't know what, but all of them glorified God. All of them pleased the Lord, we'll read here. So I'm just going to read this and make a few comments. So again, the title, if you want to remember this, I want to talk about serving God in various circumstances in the different seasons of life. So we'll read the whole chapter, 40 verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I think he's talking about all the people here in Hebrews 11 obtained a good report. They had different roles to play. But by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We believe that God made everything out of nothing, just like he said in the book of Genesis. We believe that by faith. All right, now let's look at some individuals. This first individual actually died a violent death, but he glorified God in that. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he is righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So what he did, he was faithful to God. He died a martyr's death for doing so, but he still was faithful to God. And he obtained witness he is righteous. That's not what made him righteous. He obtained witness he is righteous. And he being dead yet speaketh. And I want that to be true of us too. That I told Judy yesterday, I said, you know, Judy, all we can do is serve God in our own generation and then hope that our life will have an effect on that coming generation. It said about David in the book of Acts, he served God by his own generation and then fell asleep. So that's all we can do, serve God in our own generation. Then it's out of our control and then we fall asleep. We hope we're like Abel, though. We have many people here in Grace Chapel who've gone to be the Lord. They are speaking still. So we need to live the kind of life that we are blessing in our both by our, the way we die, the live the way we die. And as we're gone, at least the memory we have will be a blessing to people and give them strength. By faith, Enoch, now this is certainly a different role, that we won't be playing this role, but he's a man who had a unique gift or a unique role to play. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before he had this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, I preached not too long ago on that very verse, at least on one clause, because when I began to rememorize this, it kind of caught my attention, that expression. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And I asked myself, Zach, do you have the kind of testimony that you please God? You might want to ask yourself the same thing. Anyway, his translation, I see, he had a very unique role. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that's a godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Now think about that. And that was a long time job he had, wasn't it? God, we know we won't go back to Genesis right now, but in your mind, go back just for a few minutes. He had a hard job, but God told him to make an ark. It never had rained yet because the earth was watered by dew, according to Genesis. It hadn't rained yet. And so by faith, he had to take God at his word and build an ark. And we know that the Bible indicates he was ridiculed by many people while he was doing that. And it looks like it took him, I think, about 120 years, the Bible indicates, to do that. You can imagine he had a long-term holdout by faith doing something in the face of a lot of adversity. So we learn some things from that's one of the roles God called on him to do. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, that is godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And that, I like that expression too. We usually are a blessing to others when we obey God. He's certainly blessing his whole house. And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's look at Abraham. He tells a lot about Abraham in this chapter. By faith, Abraham, he is called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. He just simply obeyed. God told him to go to from Ur of the Chaldees somewhere, and it's kind of a roundabout way of getting there when you find, if you look at Genesis 12, beginning there. And he delayed a few times, but I don't want to get involved in all that, but he made it down there. But think about that. You know, God may ask you to do some things. You may not understand, just obey. He wasn't sure where he went. Well, none of us know for sure where we're going in the future anyways. We just got to be obedient to what God tells us to do. That's a good example of walking by faith, not knowing whether he went. By faith, Abraham, his call to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned. And, you know, I remember studying about Abraham one time. There's two things that characterized Abraham, a tent and an altar. He always lived in a tent, which is talking about a transitory situation. And that's why we got a tent and an altar. Everywhere he went, he worshiped God. So that a tent and an altar ought to characterize us. We're not going to dig our roots in too deep. This world doesn't really belong to us. We don't really belong here. It's not our home. So he's a sojourner. And we're really sojourners. The Bible even makes it plainer, and I'll read a few verses down below. We know we are sojourners. But I'll say this again, made this distinction many times. We're pilgrims, not vagabonds. Really, nobody's permanent in this world. A vagabond, look it up, is an aimless wanderer. That's a vagabond. A pilgrim is somebody who's away from home. They're heading someplace, and that's what we are. We're pilgrims, not vagabonds. The world's filled with vagabonds. So by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, who build on record God. I love that verse. And we are also looking for that city, aren't we? We're looking for that heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that we read about in Revelation. It does have foundations. It's not going to perish like all the cities of this earth. And I'm sure that's what kept him going. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, who build on record God. Now this next one also, I doubt if that'll happen in our lifetime. God can work miracles when he wants to, but they still show the great faith that this sister had. Both men and women here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I like that, because Sarah laughed the first time that the angel told her she was going to have a baby. But evidently, she recovered. So that shouldn't make it feel too bad. We may not react right the first time that we have a test, but we will finally, I believe, fall on the right side, because it says she judged faithfully and promised. So this speaks well of her. Let me say something about the 11th chapter of Hebrews while I'm at it. I like a lot. You know, all these people that I'm reading about had faults, but none of them record the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Isn't that great? God looking at them through grace. Abraham made some mistakes. Two times he would have compromised his own wife, save his skin. But that's not even mentioned here. Sarah laughed, that's not even mentioned here. Isn't that beautiful? You won't find any criticism of these individuals, 11th chapter of Hebrews, because it's God looking at them through grace. And that's how he looks at us too. That's just kind of a sidelight, but I think it really encouraged me when I really thought about that the first time a long time ago. It really thrilled me. And there are all kinds of consequences of actions. Some we don't realize what they are. Maybe not as stupendous as these consequences are, but look at what happened here, because she judged him faithfully with promise. Verse 12. So you never know what an impact your life's going to have. In fact, in reading in the Old Testament, two things really amazed me this last two or three weeks. Continuously, God would say, I'm going to have mercy on you because of David, your ancestor, who was faithful to me. Many times it says that. But I'm amazed at the times. You talk about you walked in the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who called Israel to sin. I mean, many times. One chapter had about 8 or 10 times said the same thing. So we're going to have consequences in our life. The people that we influence, we're going to have influence on people for the good or bad. So anyway, therefore sprang there of one, even of one, him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and his sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. All right, verse 13, one of the best verses in the chapter. I love every verb in here. I've thought about this lots. Think about this. We're looking for the second coming with the same the same way that these people did this in the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Christ hadn't come yet. But there's three verbs here, three or four verbs. I want to get these. And probably remember these. These are great. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But, number one, having seen them afar off. By faith, they had to see them afar off. They saw the promises afar off. And so let's look now. We're looking at some promises, aren't we? In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. But they saw them, number one, they were persuaded of them. So they didn't just read about them. They were persuaded. I like that. Every verb here is great. They're persuaded of them. And then guess what? And they embraced them. They made them their very own. So that's good on meditation, isn't it? That's what we got to do with the Word of God, the promises. We see them, then we are persuaded of them, then we embrace them, and then finally we confess them on the basis of that. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's a good verse. Y'all chew on that verse on. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having, one, seen them far off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, number three, then finally confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, which is exactly what we are. We're strangers and pilgrims. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, that is back in the Ur of the Chaldees, once they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they wanted to go back, they might have gone, could have gone back. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. All right, now this next one reminds me of the fact that our trials will not probably get easier as we grow older. They may even grow harder. Because this trial we're going to mention now is the hardest trial Abraham ever went through. It happened in his old age. So we can't expect it to get easier as we go along, but we can't expect God to give us strength. And no doubt the fact he had walked with God so long and God had delivered him so many times gave him the strength to be able to endure this trial. You know, we may have some terrible trial of ill health and all kinds of things in our old age. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried by God, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "Then Isaac shall thy seed be called." Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He really thought God was going to raise Isaac off that. He thought he was going to kill Isaac, and God was going to raise him from the dead. He really thought that because God had promised that an Isaac thy seed shall be called. So he didn't know how God was going to do it. So see, when God asks us to do something hard, we may not be able to know how God's going to get us out of it. Let's just do what God tells us to do. Something may be real difficult. God said, do that now. Say, Lord, it's impossible for me to do this. It won't work out. You just do what I tell you to do. And he worked out in a way that Abraham never could have dreamed possible. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph... I'm going to read this, then I'm going to say something about Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Isn't that beautiful? He knew that in 400 years that Israel was going to get out of Egypt. He said, well, don't leave me here. Take my bones with you. People said, Joseph, you're crazy. You know what's going to happen after you die. Yeah, God already told him what's going to happen. He gave commandment. But let me talk about Joseph for a minute. I just want to digress for a minute. We all know the story of Joseph. Let's talk about it just for a second. he's an obedient son. His brothers sell him into slavery when he is 17 years old. Now, God's hands on him because the brother originally wanted to kill him. But God would not allow that to happen because his time in God's hands is like your time in God's hands. So God put it in Reuben's heart to save him. And Reuben wanted to deliver him back to his daddy, but that didn't work out either. Because God didn't want him to go back to the day right then. So here Joseph does nothing he'd done wrong. He is sold into captivity. And we can't imagine what that did to him emotionally. I can't imagine. Your own brother hates you so badly, they want to kill you. And then they finally sell you to be a slave. So he could have just given up. I think he could have done either one or two things. Both of them would have been wrong. He could have gotten very cynical and hardened. and just kind of grit his teeth and become a stoic. Or he could have just given up. Just kind of just halfway existed. He didn't do either one of them. He was energetic and trying to obey God in these difficult circumstances. He'd taken out of his environment, away from a godly home, the patriarch, in a very pagan land of Egypt, very pagan land. We all know what he did. He did the best he could. He was so good that he became the head of Potiphar's household. He was diligent. So let's be diligent wherever God places us. And so he's diligent, and guess what he gets for his efforts? The woman lies about him. First of all, she tempts him. He resists temptation, which is a very strong temptation and a prolonged temptation. He resists that, but instead of him getting what he might call blessed for that, he did get, of course, blessed. He gets lied about, slandered, and thrown into prison. Well, in prison, here again, that'd been a good time. Either get cynical or give up, wouldn't it? But he didn't do it. Guess what? He's so diligent as a trustee, they make him a trustee, which is kind of watching after the other prisoner. How about that? And not only that, he's so, let's not be self-absorbed. See, it's easy for us to all be self-absorbed. Think about ourselves all the time. Don't do that. We're all prone to do that. Think about others. Think about others. We have that wonderful song, Others. So what he did, we know he thought about others because he noticed people's countenances. He noticed people's countenances, didn't he? He saw two men were sad one day. Well, if he had been self-absorbed, he never would have noticed that. He would never notice that. So he asked them what was wrong. They told him, and then, of course, he told them their dreams. And then he told one of them, or told both of them, I guess, he said, when you get out of here, no, he knew one of them wanted to go get out, by the way, didn't he? When you get out of here, tell what happened to me. Tell Pharaoh what happened to me. Well, for 2 years, that didn't happen. So if you can imagine, again, another good time to get cynical, another good time to give up, two more years now. And think about this, too. His young manhood is passing by. He might think, this is terrible. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm in my 20s. I'm in my late 20s. This is when I ought to be productive, and I'm here in prison. See, he was 17 when he got in there, 30 when he got out. 13 long years of this. But at the end of 2 years, suddenly, whammo, he's on the throne. Now, what's God doing all the time? Of course, we don't know for sure. One thing, God's molding him to do the job he did because he learned humility out of that. He learned forgiveness. Well, he forgave his brothers. He learned all kinds of things. So you're going to God's school, what I'm saying. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful, isn't it? So let's learn from him to just whatever situation we're in, we're getting treated wrongly and terribly wrongly, and there seems to be no hope. Let's don't give up. Remember, God's in control. All right. Now, Moses is the one I'll talk about in a minute, too. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And I love that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king wanted all those boy babies to be killed because they were afraid that the Israelites were going to overcome them by having a large population. So they're not afraid of the king's commandment. So they hid him, didn't they? They hid him. And by the way, sisters, the mama gets a lot of credit out of that. You read what already happened in Exodus. The mama's the one that come up with that plan. The husband and wife were both together in net. There's one time the wife evidently took the initiative. And so we know what happened in that great story when Moses was delivered. And here again we see God. Isn't that amazing what happened to Moses? His mama winds up getting paid to nurse her own son. And she can raise him up until he gets pretty big. And train him, no doubt, and talk to him a whole lot. And then he gets placed in the same house of Pharaoh that wanted to overcome, that wanted to, the one who wanted to destroy him. It was made in God's providence. Then what happened when he gets 40 years old? Well, let's talk about him just for a moment. He had three 40-year periods in his life. Moses did. He lived to be 120 years old. And I thank God in every period for different reasons. And you go through seasons of life too. We're going through seasons of life. And we need to make the best of every season. For 40 years, he's in Pharaoh's household. And Josephus, of course, Josephus is not inspired, but he was a great Jewish historian. Y'all read him sometime. I think Andrew's reading some of you now. But Josephus says he became a mighty warrior and a mighty general of Pharaoh's armies. We know one thing, he is mighty in word and deed. The Bible says that about him. So he's a mighty man. So he's in wealth, in position. And then, we're fixing to read here, when he had an opportunity to forsake his own people and stay in that position, he chose rather a foolish choice as far as the world concerned, a wise choice as far as God concerned. He said, rather to suffer affliction for the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So he got 40 years. Guess where he is? Backside of the desert. Here he is, this tremendous environment of being a really famous, powerful man, looked up to, practically worshipped. I'm down here keeping sheep in the backside of the desert. 40 years. He could have given up too, couldn't he? But he didn't do it. No doubt he was diligent. At the end of 40 years, like I mentioned this morning, he's out there one day keeping those sheep, and he sees this burning bush. His eyes turn aside to this great sight. He walks up to it, and the voice comes out of the bush. Take your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. And God talked to him. He said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, God, who am I going? Tell him send me. He said, you tell him I am send me. You tell him I am send me. And then, of course, he goes. So he had a different period. So then he has the last 40 years leading the people. And no doubt he learned a lot of lessons on the backside that are patience and things like that. He sure needed all the patience he could get, didn't he? He became kind of a shepherd of the people who had been a shepherd of sheep there for 40 years. So he had 3-4 year periods. So different seasons and very different, I mean, difficult seasons and very different seasons. We may go through a lot of different times in our life, folks. Our lives, we don't like change much, but change is part of life. We have to learn how to roll the punches. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of the sin for a season. This is the next amazing verse too. Esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. How about that? You mean to tell me being persecuted is greater riches than these real gold and silver in Egypt? Esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for his respect, the recompense of the reward. He believed what God said about the future. And I love verse 27. We know this verse well. One of our favorite verses. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I love that expression. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He was obedient to God when God told him to do the Passover. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, a sanctity, were drowned. By faith the wall of Jericho fell down after they compassed 7 days. That teaches us something about obedience, doesn't it? Because I'm sure that they had to believe what God said. They wouldn't have done that. They said, instead of assaulting the city, just march around the city and do what I tell you to do and blow the horn. And then the walls came tumbling down. They had to be totally obedient. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. We remember the story of Rahab. She believed what God said about, because she was a child of God, because she had faith. So she believed that the Israelites are going to win. Now, the rest of these people, we don't know very many more names, but these people also pleased God, but they had more difficult circumstances. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what will, a lot of people around the world today being persecuted Christians are, and we may be, I don't know. But I'm just saying we got to serve God in different seasons and different circumstances. And what more, what shall I more say? The time had failed me to tell of Gideon. We remember Gideon and the 300 that he won the battle with as he was obedient to God, and they won just for those 300 men. Of Barak, of Samson. And see, isn't it amazing? Samson committed a lot of sins, didn't he? Not mentioned in this, not in Hebrews 11. It's covered by the blood here in Hebrews 11. That's what thrills me, covered by the blood. Could have said a lot of bad things about Samson. He didn't say anything bad about Samson. He could say a lot of bad things about me too if he wanted to, but covered by the blood. Of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, no doubt talking about Daniel probably, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Maybe you're talking about Elisha, that widow over there in Elisha, I don't know. And then, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. Many of our forefathers have suffered imprisonment. You know, I was reading in World Magazine this week. They got the they have a Daniel Award every year. The Daniel Award, this is people who were brave. And this year they gave the Daniel Award to those 11 men over in Lebanon who gave, I mean Libya, who gave their lives for, you know, the ISIS, cut their heads off. But they also interviewed Armando Valladares. And if you want to read a good book, read Against All Hope. I read it a year ago. Against All Hope, Armando Valladares. He's still alive, 78 years old. Good-looking old guy, too. I don't know how he could be, how much torture he served. But he spent 22 years in Castro's prisons. And he said that he was in the jail that Che Guevara ran. You know, all these stupid teenagers now have these church glorifying Guevara. He's a bloodthirsty man. I'm glad the Bolivians shot him myself. They caught him and shot him. I'm glad they did. He's a bloodthirsty man. He said, I was in a cell right next to the wall. Every night, they lined the people up and shot these young men. But he said these young men would die shouting, long live Christ the King, long live Christ the King. And finally, the guards got so distraught they began to gag them before they had shoot them. But Valladares said, I couldn't believe this. I never had read an extensive interview. He said, I never prayed one time to get out of prison. Even though he was there 22 years, one time spent eight years in solitary confinement. He said, I pray for God to let me be faithful in prison. And then he said, I was never alone in solitary confinement. And he underwent some terrible tortures. He said, God was always with me in prison. It's quite a story. You all read Against All Hope, modern day hero. So God was with him in prison, but it's a long time in prison. He would exercise his mind, and he'd do all kinds of stuff in his mind to keep him going crazy, keep him losing his mind while he's there in the cell for eight years in solitary confinement. So a lot of God people have been in prison for a long time. They were stoned. We know Stephen was stoned. They were sawn asunder. That'd be a hard way to go. The legend is, it may not be a legend, that they put Isaiah in a hollow tree and sawed a tree into. Maybe somebody was sawn asunder. They were slain with the sword. We see that in our lifetime, lots of people being slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So I'm going to close with that. I just want to read the 11th chapter of Hebrews and remember my title. We got to serve God in the seasons of life and in various circumstances. But however we find ourselves, let's do the best we can. Where were you kids? Be good kids. Mind your mom and daddy. Parents, be good parents. Let's all be good church members and good citizens. And if we got good health, let's use our health to serve God. If we have bad health, let's don't give up. Let's keep praying. Let's be prayer warriors. And we know if we're widowed, like Eddie's been a widow for a long time now, Sister Helen's been a widow for a long time. Anna the prophetess was a widow for many years. She served God with fasting and prayers. So we don't know what kind of shape we'll find ourselves in. Whatever it is, let's serve God with all of our might. And then we will, like the elders, by God's grace, by the faith he's placed in us, obtain a good report. So I hope we have a great year this year. I hope it'll be a great year. We can say it's been an easy year. I hope so, but who knows? But if it's the hardest year we've ever had, may God give us the grace to be what we ought to be in the situation he placed us in my prayer.